Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This afternoon, we're going to be talking about business. But it's not just business. It's being aware that sometimes you need to get a criticism, that it can serve you very well. The book we're going to be talking about today is A Complaint is a Gift. Janelle Barlow is my guest. She and Klaus Moller got together, and they decided they were going to present some information that can really be useful, not just to the business person, but to anybody else that really wants to know how to improve communications with other people and make life better. But if you are in business, recovering customer loyalty, hey, that is something that's a possibility. If you've made mistakes, don't think you have to stick with them. Jeanette, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, you have really been involved in dealing with critique. I want my audience to know a little bit about you, because you do a lot of speaking. You've been in front of thousands and thousands of people. But you say that part of what helped sculpt you in your understanding was living overseas. And you were in Asia for 3 years. You still travel around the world. You became the president of TMI US in 1996, and you've been a speaker professional for so many years, but you are currently sitting on the Council of the International Federation for Professional Speakers. You've written other books. You're sitting on the faculty of the University of Philosophical Research. Your doctorate is from the University of California, Berkeley. You have a master's degree in international relations from the University of Pittsburgh and a master's in psychology from Sonoma State University. Goodness gracious, how'd you have time for all those speeches with all of these master's degrees?
I got old.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Janelle, this is something where, I don't know, it's almost as if people have become terrified of getting a complaint.
Oh, yes.
Or if they get one, they think that it's the end of the world. They don't respond to it. Lord knows, the business world has been going through extreme critiques, which I don't think are bad. I think it's healthy. But why? Why have we gotten to this point where honesty isn't necessarily a good policy, and we're supposed to just ignore stuff? What got us to this myth?
You know, I am not absolutely sure that it's any different today than it ever has been. I think it's just very difficult for people to take negative feedback. Children, fortunately, for our growth cycle, seem to be pretty good at it. Children are told constantly when they're little, you know, do it differently, no, do this, do this. They do get back. You know, one of the first words that children learn is no, 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 and if there's somebody further down the food chain, they'll go after them. But basically, children learn because their parents give them feedback to, you know, do it this way, don't do it this way. We get corrected in our language, and so we learn languages. Otherwise, we'd end up speaking our mother tongue much, much worse than we do.
Mm-hmm.
But then something happens. I don't know if it's in the teenage years or what, but people start getting real sensitive to feedback. Maybe there's some shame that's involved with it, with the peer group. And then we go from our teenage years into the work environment, and we really have to learn a whole approach to taking feedback, because we're going to get it. Or, you know, there's
mm-hmm.
no way to be perfect. And
that's
as a result of that, you're going to get feedback, whether it's from your customers, from your peers, from your bosses, or if you put yourself out there in public, like you have this show,
mm-hmm.
you get feedback about it. Or people who are now writing blogs, they get feedback. And boy, that feedback can be vicious.
Yes, it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody's going to be sitting out there with a degree in psychology saying, well, now let's discuss this for a moment here.
Yeah.
No.
But, you know, I think it's an absolute critical skill. We've got to learn how to You have to decide what feedback you can let go of. I mean, there's a certain mm-hmm. amount of it that you really don't want to buy into. But there's other feedback. You want to look at it and see what can I learn from this, because it's really a process of growth and development from listening to feedback.
Yes, it is. And too many times we get all those people that nod their heads, like the little bobbing head doll.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll go, yeah, 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 and you don't get good feedback. And many times you really want it and you don't. Well, let's talk a little bit about this right off of the bat. The very first chapter of your book, actually it's in the introduction, A Complaint is a Gift was written over 10 years ago. So this
The original book was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now this is a revised edition.
Mm-hmm.
And you said there was a 2006 survey of 3,200 U.S. and European consumers. 86% said their trust in corporations has declined in the past 5 years. And that 80% of, and this was by Right Now Technologies in 2007, said after suffering a negative service experience, 80% of U.S. adults decide never to go back to that company, 74% registered a complaint or told others, 47% swore or shouted, 29% reported they got a headache, felt their chest tighten, or cried, 13% fought back by posting a negative online review or blog comment. That's just what you mentioned here. And you go into a Gallup poll. Now, you basically focused on Americans, and correct me if I'm wrong. But
well, I try to put in, I'm part of an international group, so I've tried to include a variety of cultures in this, but frankly, just an awful lot of the research is done in the United States. So
mm-hmm.
when you start talking research, you really start looking at a lot of U.S. research.
Well, I know there are some businesses that I've had interactions with recently that are international businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And they always want, every time they deal with you, they want a feedback form.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think that's incredible that they're able even to do that.
Yeah,
because
it's most of the time, I mean, I get asked for so many of them. I don't know about you, but I get asked for so many of them, I don't fill them out. I just can't take the time and the trouble to do that. And it, frankly, most of the feedback forms that I have filled out, because I have looked at so many of them just to see what's out there, most of them I don't think are going to give them the kind of information that they really want about. You know, when you have to check, like, for numbers from 1 to 5 or something like that, it's very hard to know exactly if everybody's got the same rating scale inside their head or exactly what somebody means by excellent compared to very good. The best feedback, in my mind, is when you're actually talking with somebody, and that's why I think that if we can get into our organization's systems to actually take in the verbal comments and not force our customers to go online and write something, because they won't do it. It's just too
mm-hmm.
much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But to really listen to the customers while they're talking to us. I mean, they're talking to us. It takes so much effort to get a customer to a position where you can talk with them. And when they're complaining, they're talking with you. And to be able to gather that information in some sort of a useful way so that it can be fed back into the organization, then, you know, all of these surveys and scores from 1 to 5, which are really not that helpful. It's just about the only way in my mind in which they are really helpful is they'll let you know if something bad happens. You can see variations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what is, you know, 60% of people gave you a 3 rating. And, you know, if that just remains the same, what have you learned? You just keep getting that same information over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And probably irritating the customer that you ask for it so many times.
Well, I think one of the elements that we are missing today,
mm-hmm.
that more so than at any other time in history, is actually talking with people.
Yes.
I have just been amazed at how many times you will try to reach someone at a company, and of course this is, you know, standing joke for with so many comedians, that you go through 45 different push the button number 1, number
yes.
2, number 3. And that is enough to drive you crazy. Now, the companies that have started going back to the people part
mm-hmm.
are getting very, very good responses. And like you say, they, if they're able to pay attention and they take time while they're talking with you when you're on the line.
Mm-hmm.
But I have had customers, situations where I've been with companies and I've talked to supervisors and they'll just say, sorry, but we can't do this, or we can't do that, we
right.
can't do the other.
Yeah,
and
it's
you
like,
go,
well,
wait a minute,
why
what's
even,
going on here?
Yeah, why are they even talking with you if they can't
That's
do
right.
anything?
Mm-hmm. And so your book, A Complaint is a Gift, I think should be handed to just about everybody.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's not easy, but to really get this philosophy inside your organization means that, that the people who are actually touching the customer with the greatest frequency, which are frequently frontline staff in
mm-hmm.
hotels, they're the service staff, or in retail, they're the sales staff. And
yes.
to get those, to teach those people how to listen to customers, how to create that kind of conversation, you can end up with a relationship with the customer where they, you know, they're not going to go anyplace else.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to think of complaint handlers as frontline staff people as really as they're retention officers. They are people who will keep those customers with us for a period of time. They actually also can be thought of as salespeople because if a complaint is handled well, a lot of people will buy something else. They feel like, you know, they got something. They got their complaint was handled, and so they'll turn around and buy something, or they'll go out and say something positive about the organization. They feel like they need to reciprocate. And they're also market researchers. So instead
mm-hmm.
of spending all this money to go out and do focus groups, if you just listen to these people, they're there telling you free of charge. They're telling you what they think about your business. And generally, most customers are pretty even-handed. They won't just tell you how bad you are. They'll tell you some of the things that they like about what you're doing. And all of that is it's feedback instead of spending hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars every year that some of these big corporations do to gather all of this feedback that then goes into a Excel spreadsheet that gets put into a PowerPoint that gets shared at the board level. They look at it, and they don't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what happens.
Yes, it is. Now, you give a number of very, very good examples of companies that changed their tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was Dudley Webry that purchased a lumber yard in Lulling, Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
And he had purchased this lumber yard. And the area it was in was not a popular area. So he decided he was going to go to the contractor's lumber yard to find out what their problems were.
Mm-hmm.
And when he found out what the problem was, he knew that his company would be able to help them. And so it was dealing with truckloads, the amount that they had to send out.
Right.
They took care of that. It eliminated thievery, which was a big cost, and saved money for the people that were the customers. And even though they ended up paying more for the lumber, it was economically all the way around terrific, and it increased its business between 82 and 94 by 300%. Now,
yeah.
That is an awesome percentage.
Right. And, you know, that example is really a great example because it shows that relationship between effective complaint handling and sales. I mean, and this is a case of somebody actually going out there and talking to people to find out what their problems were. And a problem is, in effect, a complaint. And then, even though they weren't addressing it to him, he found out what their complaints were in the community in general, and then they were able to sell to that need and grew their business in some phenomenal ways. I mean, there are dozens and dozens of these kinds of
mm-hmm.
examples, maybe thousands of these kinds of examples. And the question is not just, do you do this accidentally and it happens once in a while, but can you build this philosophy into your system so that you're always looking for those kinds of examples?
Now, let's take another side. Let's take the employee side. I know
mm-hmm.
that there are people listening to the show today that are employees, and they have been subjected to maybe some verbal rudeness, obnoxiousness, maybe even been cussed at, because this happens sometimes. And you have here in your book, right at the beginning, about a statement. You have a statement here by a customer service representative, and this is what they said. Customers' complaints suck.
Mm-hmm.
Customers complain 90% of the time because they've had a bad day and need someone to take it out on. I work for a wireless company, and I get so many complaints that it is sickening. My job is to help the customer, but there is a limit that any employee of any company can tolerate. I'm sick of customer complaints. No matter how hard I try, customers are not satisfied within the limit of what we as employees can do by company policy. But when a customer comes into an establishment with an attitude from the start, It's hard to keep a level head when they're screaming at you and accuse you of being rude. And you have that side. You have these employees that maybe have this customer that is a chronic complainer or something that has come up, and maybe they're trying to cheat their way out, they're trying to do something. But you bring up an interesting statistic. You say that, yes, there are people that may want to cheat, but they're really of a very small margin.
Very tiny.
So you do not make that assumption right off the bat. And I know of some people that work for employers that say everybody's a crook.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you approach. Everybody's a crook. So,
yeah, and then what does that say about themselves?
That's
everybody's
right.
A crook,
and
they
that's
must be
management.
One, too.
Mm-hmm. That's management's mm-hmm. attitude.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's a real issue. And I mean, and of course, there are people who cheat. But, you know, whenever I've asked people who tell me how awful the customers are, and I ask them how many are that way, oh, they're all that way. Oh, come on, not really. They, you know, maybe I've been observing them. Come on, I saw a whole bunch of them who were not that way. Well, okay, they're not all that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that some of these, you know, this the work that a lot of these service people do on the telephone or in person is not easy. It's very hard. And I think they just run out of energy, and they revert to lashing out
mm-hmm.
against the customers. And this is, organizations need to look at this. I mean, that woman that you just quoted, you know, she needs a break. She needs a vacation, maybe a long vacation, or perhaps she needs to work in another environment. I think some organizations have tried it to great success as they keep rotating people around in various positions. I'll give you one example, and that is in Sunnyvale, California, which is in Silicon Valley. They rotate, and I'm not 100% sure that they're still doing this today, but they used to do it, and they rotate their police and their fire officers. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's 18 months they are police officers, and then 18 months they are firefighters, and then they rotate. Now, it costs them a little bit in terms of training to update people when they move from one position to another, but, you know, the community loves firefighters, typically doesn't have as good a relationship with the police, typically. And
mm-hmm.
So what they do is they give the police a chance every 18 months to move into that position of being revered by their communities. So that what they're finding is that their police officers have a lot less trouble of, you know, like this woman that
mm-hmm.
you were quoting. They,
right.
they keep a more positive attitude about their community because they're rotating in and out of these positions. I think that organizations need to seriously take a look at that. You know, anytime anybody does anything for too long a time period, it becomes difficult for them. It becomes boring, and then they, you know, anything that doesn't go right, they start complaining
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
But also, people need a lot of, you know, we need to make sure that we're not overworking these people. We need to make sure that they like their jobs, that they are supported in terms of their computer systems, in terms of their the telephony that they're using, all of these things. We need to make sure that people are put in the best position possible so that they can maintain a positive attitude about the customers.
I agree. Now, there's a point you bring up that I thought was outstanding. We all are much aware of outsourcing, but you bring up a point about how many companies made the mistake of outsourcing their telephone call centers
mm-hmm.
to other countries, and the complaints started coming in like tsunamis because the people could not understand who they were talking to. And
yeah.
That I've had experience with myself firsthand, and it drives you nuts.
It drives you nuts, yeah.
Because you have to ask them over and over.
And then you feel guilty because you got upset with somebody who doesn't speak English perfectly.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
just...
I know. It's,
it's
it, it puts the
things.
Customer in a really uncomfortable position.
And now you're saying there's a turn.
Mm-hmm.
These companies have ended up with major losses, and so they, especially with relations, and the old adage is it's much easier to keep an old customer than it is, you know, a regular customer.
Or to get a new one, yes.
A new one.
Yeah.
So when you're able to pay attention to this, then, of course, business goes through these cycles all the time. It's
right.
Like, well, let's see, maybe we can find
we'll try this
Alka-Seltzer special, and
yeah.
We'll do this, and it's going to work. But loyal customers are really what you want. You want that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that contributing to it, and you had a company, and I had a note, and I misplaced it, but I loved how they handled complaints. If they made a mistake, if they'd really bungled, they didn't try to hide it. They sent somebody an apple pie. And
I thought, man, that is a cool resolution
mm-hmm, with a humble
right.
apology.
Uh-huh.
Humble pie is what they call
right.
it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, now, that's ingenious. Mm-hmm. How
right.
many people,
well,
when
see,
they get
and,
that
and
pie,
I think part of that, too, yes, is that it's that you can hear in that small store, and it was a small store, but that their philosophy is that our customers are valuable to us, and when we make a mistake, we're going to make it up. We're going to make it up to them. Warren Buffett just this week said that he thought that maybe. Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't Warren Buffett. It was the former head of GE, Jack Welch, and he said that he thought that maybe they had made a mistake years ago where they focused on short-term profits instead of
mm-hmm.
long-term gains. I think we're all of us, you know, that we're beginning to see that in this. We're seeing this in this economic situation, and I think that. You know, when a company says, okay, other people are outsourcing to India, let's do that. Because what we'll do is we'll save
mm-hmm.
maybe $10 million if you're a big company, dollars a year. But what you do in terms of alienating the customer and making us jaded as customers so that we roll our eyes and we start punching on that telephone and screaming at the telephone because we've got another loop that we're going to go through and then finally get to somebody who's in another country, you just don't feel like you're revered by that organization. You,
mm-hmm.
you feel like you're some numbers to them, that you're going to bring in money to them. And maybe somebody might say to me, well, Janelle, wake up. That's the way that it is. But I think ultimately, if you're looking at a long-term relationship with a customer, you've got to have a different approach about this.
Yes. And what is it? The word of mouth can do more damage,
oh, yeah.
I think, of
yeah.
a major company that I had to deal with some service issues with. And I can remember talking to the employees for this major company, and they were just so sad because the company had opted to discontinue the interactive customer service.
Mm-hmm.
They have a whole new generation of management that doesn't think it's necessary.
Right.
And this was a company whose service was highly respected for a long time.
Yep.
Well, I remember talking to not just one friend about it, asking if they had ever had the experience. I found that I talked to 8 different people, and every single one of them said, oh, you don't have to tell me about that. I'm the same way.
Yep.
I won't deal with that company anymore. I'm not going to do this. And I went, whoa.
And then once that's your reputation, it becomes exceptionally hard to turn it around. I mean, look at American automakers today. You know, many of them are producing really fine cars.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you know, price for price, they're as good as any of the imports that are coming into the United States. But the reputation, the word of mouth about Detroit automakers is not positive. And
mm-hmm.
and they you know, they weren't listening to the public. It's so difficult for me to imagine how the Detroit automakers didn't notice all those people out there on the West Coast who were buying imports. And thinking, well, that's just California, they're strange. No, we were the harbinger of the future
mm-hmm.
for buying these imported cars. And, you know, you've got to hand it to them that they really are producing good cars today, but the reputation still lingers.
Well, and I think it is also because people feel like they're being ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's
yeah.
really paying attention.
Oh,
and,
yeah. I just bought a new car, and I bought an American car. I had bought foreign cars for 30 years, but I wanted to buy an American car. And I tell you, the struggle, the car is fine, but the struggle that I went through with the dealership to buy that car has just been,
mm-hmm.
it's just been incredible. I mean, it makes you want to go to sleep for a long, long time to
well,
avoid that
again.
Well,
the thing is, they have forgotten what made Ford
mm-hmm.
so successful.
Mm-hmm.
Those basic principles stand true, no matter how you look at it. But again, you've got a whole new generation say, well, this is what I was taught in Harvard. They haven't really learned from those and that went before them that were successful. And they'll say, well, that was a long time ago. But hey, customer service is, I don't care, that never goes out of style.
Right.
Now, you have in your book and again, I want to share the title, A Complaint is a Gift, 8-Step Gift Formula. And this, I think, is so simple. To me, it's just common sense. It should always be employed. They are, number one, say thank you. Two, explain why you appreciate feedback. You want feedback from them, and you appreciate what you get.
Yeah, and that can be as simple as saying, thank you for telling me. Thanks
yes.
for letting me know. Thanks for alerting me. I wouldn't have known if you hadn't told me.
And that happens a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's very important. Apologizing for a mistake, like we were talking, not everybody's going to send out an apple pie, but I
right.
think the person who
yeah,
did
yeah,
that.
They want
really
an apology. Smart. I am so sorry. And it better be genuine, too.
Yes. And then promise to do something about the problem immediately. Take responsibility. Boy, that word should be posted in permanent ink on the foreheads of all these people that have done what they've done, and they're not being held accountable. Personal responsibility. Ask for necessary information, step 5. 6, correct the mistake promptly. 7, check customer satisfaction. And 8, take what you've learned and put it into application. And I realize sometimes you can't do something right away.
That's right. And sometimes you can't even fix the problem. I mean, sometimes
mm-hmm.
the issue is, you know, if somebody wants to send a package to arrive on somebody's birthday and it arrives 2 days later, you can't ever go back and fix that. But
mm-hmm.
you know, but what you can do is to thank the person. Sometimes not charging somebody, sometimes a little gift, sometimes just a sincere apology is really all that matters. Because you know, the public understands that companies aren't going to get it right. I mean, every business has its own problems. We fail our customers on a regular basis. It's just what businesses do. And so, and most people are in business, and they understand that they're doing the same thing. But what they do want is they want somebody to say, you know, I did it, I blew it, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's just unacceptable. And I frequently say in my speeches, you know, I think what we almost need to do is to spread broken glass on the floor, get on our knees, and crawl through it. We really need to be. We really need to let that customer know that this is not our style of business. Otherwise, it becomes, well, you should have been here last week. There were, you know, twice as many as you who had the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like to the customer.
Well, the insurance industry, the government, we have banking systems, and a lot of people, I mean, when you can talk to a cab driver, like I was in Anchorage, Alaska, just day before yesterday, and nobody's paying attention. And this is someone that's a very intelligent individual that's holding a conversation and is saying, where's the personal responsibility? Who's accountable? Blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
When
yes.
you have this being discussed, you know, if he was discussing it with me, a perfect stranger that's on her way to catch a plane, then this is a passionate person.
Mm-hmm.
They want accountability. And this goes across all levels, whether it's education, whether it is business, whether it is media. It doesn't make any difference. It
yes.
is the same
yeah.
thing. And nobody's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But again, being accountable, saying yes,
yeah.
this is what
yeah,
I
don't think that the public at this point in time has heard a sincere apology from any of these big financial institutions saying, you know,
not a one,
yeah. Instead, they really seem to be wanting to blame it on these people who took loans that were practically shut down their throats.
Yes, and so when you find out about this, you go, wait a minute, you are the people that are supposed to be in charge. If you're in charge, excuse me, I think we need to be on another planet.
Yeah.
This just isn't doing so well. Complaint.
Mm-hmm.
A complaint is a gift.
And they better be listening, because we're giving them some feedback that is going to stay with them for years and years. I mean, these financial institutions are possibly in a position where the public will not trust them again for another 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Russia, I think it was 1997, there was a big financial crisis, and a lot of the banks went belly up, and many of them just, I mean, the money that the depositors had made in the banks was gone. And this was after, you know, Russians hadn't been used to putting their money in the bank and in the communist system. And then
sure.
along come the banks, and now the public is, you know, this is the safe place to put it. And then the financial crisis occurred, and then the people didn't get their money out again. And I tell you, it was, you know, you had to dig deeper to get the people to put their money in the banks. And there were a couple of, a few of these banking institutions. I worked with one of them in Moscow who made sure everybody got all of their money that they had put in.
Mm-hmm.
And it cost them a lot. And but at this point, you know, people who are their tight customers are absolutely in love with them. I mean,
mm-hmm.
because they feel like they can trust this organization.
That's right.
And you break trust. Well, we all know what it means to break trust in a personal relationship. The same thing happens in a business relationship.
Yes, very, very much so. because that trust is what gets you through thick and thin.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the movie It's a Great Life with
mm-hmm.
Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed portrayed
mm-hmm.
over and over again, and that's why people love that movie so much. Because life can happen where things can go awry, but if you pull together and if you have integrity,
right.
then it makes it. Your book, A Complaint is a Gift, I think is marvelous. I'm so glad you brought it out again. Now, you have a website where people can go and check it out. And, of course, my listeners are web savvy, but it's TMIUS. That's Thomas Mary Ida US.
Or we say too much information.
Aha, I like that even better. Too much.
It's not really the name of our company, but it makes it easy for people to remember.
Too much information. That's an abbreviation for TMIUS.com. Janelle, thank you ever so much for being my guest today.
Thank you.
It has been a delight having you. This
been
is Donna
Siegel. To talk with you.
We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We've got some other good things to share with you. We'll be right back. Don't forget, A Complaint is a Gift. Check it out. Worth reading. Share it with your kids. Good stuff. We'll be right back.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
The Northwest Women's Show, presented by Northwest Hospital and Medical Center, is a show that's all about you, with 500 exhibits, free seminars, free samples, fashion shows, Gilles Marini from this season's Dancing with the Stars, and Dr. Lisa Masterson from the hit show The Doctors, plus shopping with great women's show specials, March 27th through 29th at Quest Field Event Center. Show information at nwwomenshow.com. The Northwest Women's Show, it's such a girl thing.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siegel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome, welcome. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, here are the toll-free numbers you can call in to at any time during the next half hour, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Worldwide, including the U.S., 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, remember, if you've not called in before, all I need from you is your first name and your initial. Of course, I love to know where you're calling from. And then let me tell you what I've received, and you're welcome to ask me a question if you so desire. Now, quick like a bunny, I want to remind you I am going to be at the Northwest Women's Show. That's coming up. It's hard to believe. 2 weeks, and that is going to be March 27th, 28th, and 29th. And the Donna Sebo Show is going to be featured on stage, where I'm going to be interviewing five very prominent women here in the Pacific Northwest. And so if you're in the Seattle, Western Washington area, please come on by. Be a part of the audience at the top of every hour, starting at 11 a.m. I'll be interviewing people, and you'll have a chance to be a part of the audience and interact. Also, I'm going to be in booth 407, booth 406. They had to correct the number there, so it's now 407. And I'm right in the same place like I am every year. Just come on by if you want to peruse through the books I'm going to be bringing in, but also I'm going to be doing many consultations for people there. But this is at the Quest Field Center, the Convention Center. Come on by, make it a day, bring your friends. It is absolutely awesome. This is fun, educational. It is just absolutely go, go, go from the time your feet enter the floor room, the floor of this wonderful convention area. There's over 500 vendors. It is incredibly terrific. So be sure you come on out, mark your calendar, and do stop by booth 407 and say hello. Now, by the way, I wanted to let you know about some technological things that have evolved, which I think is great. Adam Hadhazy has information regarding identity theft. Now, this is something that, my goodness, so many people have had issues with, and oh, it is just causing havoc for credit card companies and for consumers, and sometimes it's taking people a year or maybe more to be able to amend the damage that's done by the identity thieves. So here is some information. If you want to keep someone from seeing your credit card number online, this obviously has to be prevented by digital encryption keys that are generated from random numbers. Now, in Japan, there is a team of individuals that have made those encryption keys a lot tougher to crack. Now, what they do is quite interesting. They use lasers to generate random numbers 10 times more quickly than before, and just creating 1.7 gigabits, or almost 2 billion ones and zeros in a second. Can you imagine that? I mean, that was just, when I came across this information, I was just amazed. Now, of course, speed is so important since e-commerce servers can handle millions of transactions per second. I mean, I was dealing with someone today that had a problem with a credit card, and I'm talking to them on the phone, they're on their computer, they say, wait a minute, I can fix this. They're transferring funds into an account. They say, okay, now everything will be fine. Sure enough, I go in, and I'm processing a charge, and by golly, it's already there. I mean, just split-second stuff that we're doing. We just take it for granted today. Now, the randomness comes from reflecting some laser light back into itself, much the way a river does when it's splashing against a rock. Now, electric circuits convert the laser's fluctuating brightness into a stream of unpredictable numbers. Now, there is a study author by the name of Peter Davis. He's a physicist at the NTT Corporation in Kyoto, Japan. He said lasers could add some much-needed chaos to the online world. And for many of us, we hear that and we go, gee, don't we have enough chaos? But the truth is, the sophistication of computer technology is moving at such a rate. Anyone, I mean, even those in the industry, are hard-pressed to keep up with all of the changes. For example, transistors that have always been a challenge are now being developed with such a sophistication that they have electronic circuits that can bend, extend, and even twist into a spiral. I've got one right in front of me. It looks like a work of art. You wouldn't think this would be possible. Now, what happens is, in this particular twisted transistor, the design includes small electronic elements that are embedded in silicone rubber, and they're connected by bridges that change shape to accommodate strain whenever the material surrounding them stretches. Now, what they say, and Yonggang Huang, who is one of the engineers that's working on a team, they're with a Northwestern university, he said, strain is what kills electronics. Now, his team has helped to develop these very pliable, flexible circuits. And, you know, we all know about circuit boards. My goodness, they're just in about everything anymore, and they're built on brittle silicon wafers. Just about all of us have seen the films on the labs that produce these and how everything has to be absolutely perfectly clean. And these brittle casings have to be protected by solid surfaces. Of course, that limits what you're able to work with, where the devices can be placed. Now, with this new elasticity, electronics can be attached to curved surfaces that warp and undulate like the human body does. This is just absolutely amazing. The circuits are surrounded by a bio-friendly silicone. They can be used perhaps in implantable heart and brain monitors. Now, the gentleman that was talking about this is at the University of Illinois. His name is John Rogers. He said, now we can wrap silicon-based technology around all kinds of objects. And one of the areas they're considering doing this with is a flexible heart monitor that conforms to an athlete's moving body and wearable solar cells. I mean, the minds and imagination of these individuals that are working on these different concepts, developing these new materials, everything is becoming so tiny that to be able to have this kind of flexibility, my goodness, it is a level of technology that we've not ever seen before, and it is transforming life tremendously. Look at iPods. When I was on the plane flying, there was a young man who was sitting next to me, and he had this little iPod. And this little iPod, he could get the Wall Street Journal. He had all kinds of information, and he said, this is really cool. Well, it was just like about 2.5 to 3 inches long, and it was like a, not even a quarter of an inch in thickness. And he puts in these little earphones, and he's ready to go. He said, I can review all kinds of information. I can download this stuff. I don't even need to carry my computer with me. I can, you know, do this, that, or the other. And I was just absolutely amazed. Here's this little item you can hold in the hand, in the palm of your hand, smaller than you could ever imagine, and it's just a very effective and efficient item. Well, stop and think about so many applications that could be used for. In the area of medicine, it is absolutely unlimited. In technology with automobiles, can you imagine solar cells that could be much smaller than what they are at this time, that could be so much more efficient, utilizing light and energy, so we could have free energy in a sense that will allow us to power our homes, our cars. I mean, there's just absolutely amazing things that are going on. So I wanted to share that with you today. This is Donna Siebel. Hey, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Those are toll-free numbers. Tomorrow, hey, we're going to get fit and fabulous in 15 minutes with Teresa Tapp. She's had so many wonderful things going on, and we're going to bring you up to date with a lot of good stuff. Also, we're going to be talking about Carol Brody Fleet's material, Widows Wear Stilettos. This is a wonderful book, and if you know of anyone who has recently been widowed, this is so important because adapting to the loss of a loved one can really make a difference. And then we're going to be talking to a global traveler, Betty Tisdale. She is just an absolutely wonderful woman. She has been working with children. I just got some email information from her, and we're going to be talking about her work with children overseas and a recent trip that she had and the adventures that went with it. And dealing in a different cultural environment and making a difference can really be a challenge. So Betty's going to be sharing that with us on Friday. Well, we're going to be taking a break for just a moment. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And when we come back, a little more of this and a little more of that. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTeb Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill. You'll burn extra calories, you'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
The Northwest Women's Show, presented by Northwest Hospital and Medical Center, is a show that's all about you, with 500 exhibits, free seminars, free samples, fashion shows, Gilles Marini from this season's Dancing with the Stars, and Dr. Lisa Masterson from the hit show The Doctors, plus shopping with great women's show specials, March 27th through 29th at Quest Field Events Center. Show information at nwwomensshow.com. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-867-5227 or 888-815-9756. So many times we can have physiological problems due to diet. Now, for those of us that are always reading different types of material, we may be consciously aware of it, but so many people haven't a clue. And I wanted to share with you today a story about a woman by the name of Sherry Whiting. And Sherry had joint pain. It was just absolutely miserable for her. She was feeling old. She wasn't that old. She was only in her 30s. And she said, here I am, I'm just like what I perceive an old person. My joints are aching, I'm a nurse. She said, I've got intense schedules, and I'm just getting worse and worse and worse. Well, this went on for about 5 years. And she just took it in stride, blaming it on the stress, blaming it on a lot of things. Well, it got so bad that when she was in her 40s, she began having some serious physical problems, and she ended up having a type of surgery. But after the surgery, her joints, her body was just in terrible pain. And she said, oh, this is terrible. Well, she thought she had rheumatoid arthritis. You know, you read enough of the books, and you can say, I have this symptom, I have that symptom, so I guess it's this, that, that. So, now, we've got a caller. Let me take the caller, but I'm going to tell you the rest of the story about Sherry afterwards because it's an interesting one. And if you're having problems, you might want to keep her story in mind. Let's go to our first caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Debbie, or Deborah.
All right, Deborah. And where are you calling from?
Pardon? Canada.
Oh, wait. Okay, dear. Where in Canada?
In Manitoba.
in Manitoba. Well, welcome to the show. Delighted to have you. And first thing, Deborah, let me say this to you. I want you to keep up your education. Now, you are, I feel, a natural-born counselor. From the time you've been able to talk, it seems like you've always had a good insight into people, the situations they're going through. And in fact, I would say to you, it's almost like you never really had a childhood, but you had to go through all the growing up pains that all of us have to go through, and you felt it was such a waste of time. But I watch you with interest because I'm seeing a sense of sadness inside you. You're being very self-critical, and I want you to stop beating yourself up.
Okay.
That you've gone through these cycles, I want you to reverse your thinking a little bit here and say, wait a minute. I'm even better at being able to work with people because of what I have gone through. I am even better at being a problem solver because I can look at things from more than one perspective. So you've got a lot of aces in your hand. In fact, in my view, you actually have a full house. But you need to understand that education for you is something that's an ongoing process. You're never going to get there. So I want you to thoroughly enjoy the choices that you make, whether it's taking a class in healing, whether it's taking a class in nuclear physics, or just how to paint the bedroom better. I don't care. Nothing that you take in the way of education and information is going to be a negative. Don't listen to the people that will say to you, it's a waste of your time. You do what is right for you.
Okay.
And you're going to have everything that you need. And you don't need to worry about money so much, dear. You're going to be just fine. And you're learning how to work with it. What would you like to ask me?
Well, I wanted to ask you about the property. We've been asked by Spirit to do traditional, like I do lodges and I help people that way. I'm a sun dancer and I do stuff like that. And I'm wondering when the grandfather's spirit wants us, when that'll happen.
All right. Now, you're going to have to be a little clearer with me. When you're saying property, is this something you want to acquire?
Yes, we want to live outside the city.
All right. Now, this is going to take a lot of discipline, and it's going to take a lot of hard work.
Right.
It depends on how big a parcel you want. Now, the big thing that I think is very important is that you need to have an adequate water supply, and you need to be able to look at how much acreage you want, because there's actually four different sites that could work very nicely. One of them is actually located fairly close to a road area, where if you wanted to build road, it's not going to be as costly as it would on any of the other three that I'm looking at, but actually none of them are bad. They all will have a good source of water. You must be very thoughtful, though, and be careful about floodplains, because two of the parcels I'm looking at have a good, one has a section right dead center in the middle of it that would be considered floodplain. Not good. Really, in my view, that would not be good. The other one that I see that has a web flood area in it, it's like it's at an angle, but it would, you'd need to have a very careful plan so that it would be a preserve of some kind. Now, I do have to tell you, Deborah, I'm out of time, hon.
Okay.
Our show is just about over here. I've only got a few seconds. So I hope that gives you a little bit of information to work with, and I want to thank you for calling in.
Oh, thank you so much. I love your show.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you. And tell your friends.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, dear. This is Donna Siebel. I'm so sorry. We're out of time. I'll have to finish Sherry's story perhaps tomorrow because it really is one worth hearing about. It makes a difference. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Teresa Tapp. Hey, get fit fabulous. Believe me, it makes a difference, and it can have a lot of fun at the same time. So Teresa's going to be joining us. And tomorrow, remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Take care. God bless. We'll be back here, right here, same time, same place at bbsradio.com. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.